This is the Tan Talk Radio Network.
Everybody was kung fu fighting. Those kids were fast as lightning. In fact, it was a little bit frightening. But they fought with expert timing. There were funky China men from funky Chinatown. They were chopping them up. They were chopping them. Everybody knew their part, from a fainting to a slip, and a kicking from the hip. Everybody was kung fu fighting.
Oh yeah, well you know, China's been so much in the news recently, we thought we would bring you a little bit of Chinese music, at least the American version of Chinese music. Good morning, welcome to Freedom Works, the Paul Molloy Show. I am indeed, I'm still here, still virus free. I'm Paul Molloy, and along with my buddy and my virus-free partner, Big Ed Davis, we thank you very much for joining us on this Friday morning, April the 3rd. We are going to be talking in a few minutes with Wayne Cruz of the Competitive Enterprise Institute, and we're going to talk about how Washington is about to totally botch infrastructure spending in the midst of this coronavirus. I think you're going to find it very interesting, so stay tuned for that, please. Also, President Trump, he's gone after Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer, the terrible two on the Democratic side, as he continues to hold these daily afternoon briefings on the pandemic. We are going to talk with the proprietor of the Barber Poll, Andrew Ceraci, to see if the Donald is still commanding respect, you know, with the general public. Remember, he's got Anthony Fauci and that woman, you know, getting down to the details of what the virus is doing. And Donald's kind of a cheerleader, right? He's more of a cheerleader, I think. He presents a different personality and perspective for us. So we'll talk to the Barber Pole man himself about all of that. And there is now a Texas city in which if you go outside and you don't have a mask on, you're in trouble. We're going to tell you which city demands you wear a face mask. And in our ultimate top 10, last show, we gave you the top 10 oldest countries in the world. I bet Ed, you don't remember what the oldest country is. He doesn't. I wouldn't either, but I'm going to tell you when we do this one. Now we're going to bring you the top 10 newest countries. Newest! Yeah, you'll be interested to know. I bet nobody knows what the newest country is either. I did not.
You know, this song got me thinking. Kung Fu fighting?
Yeah.
What do we call Wuhan fighting? Everybody was Wuhan fighting.
Yes. Well, you see, they deal with animals in Wuhan, right? They have the marketplace with the animals. So what you do is you sneak up on them, and they've got these caged animals. You release one dog and one bat and see who wins.
We can call sing it Wuhan fighting and have sound effects of dogs barking.
And bats flapping.
And cats screaming.
And cats screaming. We're getting a little morbid, are we not? But you know what?
You gotta
have some humor.
Once in a while.
You gotta have some humor. I mean, this is surreal.
Yeah.
I was thinking about this, Ed. Step back and think. Everything has ground to a halt. Everything. 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 I mean, if we had, let's say in December or whatever, or January, everything was, you know, running along. Everything was great. Great stock. Great unemployment.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody was work. Everybody, you know, and now?
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine that? What does this tell us? It tells us that you never know what's going to happen. You never can assume anything.
Yeah, even the impeachment didn't do anything.
The impeachment, that seems like a distant memory,
I know,
doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, has Adam Schiff gone back underground?
Of course,
I haven't heard his name recently. Or is he going to be attaching himself like the coronavirus? Is he going to attach himself to some new topic?
Well, we were saying that not only we've never seen, you know, the country shut down like this and everything, but we've never seen the other side. The fact that places like your mortgage companies and your creditors are working with you and saying, take 3 months.
That's
true. We're going to backload that. Paul had his mortgage company automatically say, we're going to backload that 3 months. No penalties, nothing. And of course, there's no eviction for the month.
Yeah, we're all in DeSantis. This together.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Exactly.
The companies are working with us, and we've never seen that before.
You know, it's tragedy or whatever you want to call this, not tragedy, but can become a tragedy. It brings out the best in people. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it brings out the worst, but usually brings out the best.
To me, that's the biggest part of this whole thing, that all these corporations and companies are working with us. Because even with 9/11, they said, hey, you got to pay your bills. And whether the country went a little bit of a recession, whatever, it doesn't matter. We want
right. Life code. Didn't stop.
But they understand. I mean, I've even got calls from AT&T saying the same thing. We're not going to shut any phones off for non-payment for 3 months.
It's great to hear that.
With no penalties.
It's wonderful.
No late fees, nothing.
Yeah. I mean, we're all in this together. We really are. And I wanted to mention, because we started our show with Kung Fu Fighting, that, you can't trust what China is telling us, because now the United States supposedly has more cases than anybody in the world, which I cannot believe. I still think China. And news that Chinese officials have ordered a county now in central China back on lockdown makes me think that they're just kind of giving us a big, whatever you want to call it, right? Kind of a runaround on everything. And I think, Trump has to walk a fine line with the President Xi of China. He claims he's a friend of his. He's not a friend of his. Are you kidding? I wouldn't turn my back on the guy. And Mike Pence said yesterday that if China had been truly transparent, there's no question we'd be in a much better place. And that's true. That's absolutely true. There is, had they told us right away that there was something going on and that it was catchable way before they actually did, it could have been a completely different scenario. I hope everybody really realizes that. And there's a lot of blame Donald Trump on this. Donald Trump, you got to remember, Donald Trump closed our
borders,
flights and borders from China. Yeah. From China right away. And a lot of people jumped down his throat. They accused him of being somewhat, whatever you call it, when you, a certain group of people, whatever, not homophobic, but, xenophobic.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, come on. Think about it. If we had allowed those people to come pouring in when he stopped it. So no matter what you do in something like this, They're gonna find something you didn't do right. Of course, there's gonna be something you didn't do right. You can't do everything completely right, and it drives me crazy. The Washington Post has now got a story out about how Donald Trump is up there saying one thing one day and one thing the next. Well, come on now, Donald Trump is a cheerleader for our country.
Mm.
He's trying to make people calm down. And he says we're going to get through this. And he's been positive in terms of his... He lets Fauci and that lady get up there.
Run the show.
And tell the details and the specs, okay? He picks good people. Fauci has been... Mm-hmm. Fauci must be the most sought-after guy on television right now.
Other than Cuomo.
Well, Cuomo... I don't know, Cuomo... Cuomo's getting more FaceTime than the president. I mean, I'm beginning to think that there really might be something going on.
You know how they say in bad times you find out who your real friends are?
Yes.
Bad times you also find out who your real politicians are.
Oh, that's true.
Because you know what? New York, Bloomberg spent how much on trying to be president? Almost $1 billion. Where is he and his money now?
I haven't heard a word from him.
I haven't heard him donating anything. to New York.
Yeah.
And he, remember his ad? I was with New York, guided them through 9/11.
Yeah, you
when I was mayor. Was... No, you weren't.
No, he wasn't the mayor.
Guy named Rudy Giuliani.
Rudy,
was
our boy Rudy.
But where is he now? Where is he and his money
actually,
now?
There's a lot of them that
yeah, exactly.
That aren't in the, even Rudy. I haven't heard about Rudy recently.
And either, and so. we've got NFL owners donating money. We've got Sean yes. Payton. I mean, like Drew Brees for the quarterback of the Saints donated $5 million. Where are these politicians too on both sides? Where are they?
Yeah. Well, we're going to talk a little bit more about Schumer and Pelosi. We're going to take our break now because what we want to turn to is how, in the midst of this pandemic, our government can screw up and turn infrastructure into a chaotic thing. Stand by.
She's simply awesome. She touched by me in painted on jeans.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
The best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They've got a beautiful new facility, but you'll still get the very best haircut from the very best hair cutters, and for a great price, too. Andrew's Master Barbershop is open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza, State Road 580 and Overcash Drive in Dunedin.
If you would like to become a wholesale buyer of the premium quality longevity product that you hear about right here on the Tantalk Radio Network for personal service, you can pick up the phone right now and call Lola at 727-441-3311. Again, that's Lola at 727-441-3311. Or for even faster service, log on to TantalkHealth.com. That's TantalkHealth.com. Here's your health and longevity.
Hi, this is Jay Leno.
Hey, this is Ted Nugent.
Hi, everybody. This is David Hobbs.
Hi, this is Bob Marshall.
Hey, this is Danny the Count Coker.
Hey, this is comedian, author, and most importantly, vintage race car driver Adam Carolla.
Hi, this is Shirley Cha-Cha Muldowney.
I'm John Forrest.
Hey, this is Jack Roush.
And you're listening to Nostalgic Radio and Cars.
That's Nostalgic Radio and Cars with the most fascinating and legendary names in motorsports every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We are back on a Friday, April the 3rd. Freedom Works. Always delighted to talk with a buddy of ours, Wayne Cruz, from the Great Competitive Enterprise Institute. Wayne has actually written down a piece for Forbes magazine, Forbes.com, coronavirus infrastructure spending to start at $2 trillion. Oh, my God. You know, Wayne, it seems like, you know, infrastructure has been a big ticket item. Even Donald Trump's been talking about infrastructure. Mm-hmm. But it always scares me when I think about the federal government getting involved in infrastructure. But I want to let you just kind of talk a little bit about this latest situation in the midst of the coronavirus.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. I guess you guys are sitting tight, staying safe.
And we are, and we
doing
hope
all the
you
right
are.
Things.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, coming to you live from my chair upstairs with the door shut so you can't hear the kids.
You know what? Boy, can we relate. Boy, can we relate to that.
Exactly. Oh, yeah. This is an important thing because we've been here before. We had a big stimulus package and campaign after 9/11. We had a big stimulus after the 2008 financial meltdown. So what you discover quickly is that one thing that's always bipartisan is spending big money on stimulus. And often that can be a mistake. You remember the term shovel ready.
Oh, yeah.
So this is a situation that's very vulnerable because remember how these bailout packages started. You had initially the changes in law to give states more access to money. You had the $8 billion package that came from the House that actually put new burdens on employers in terms of family and sick leave. Then they started talking about a $750 billion package, which quickly, over a period of about 4 days, ballooned into the $2 trillion package we just did. which is actually a lot more than that when you go into the loan guarantees that Treasury and the Fed are working on. Now you had Nancy Pelosi come out and say she wanted $1 trillion stimulus package on infrastructure, and Trump decided to outflank her by saying he wanted a $2 trillion infrastructure package.
Yeah, we've got...
You want to grow infrastructure, but I'll just put it this way. As much as we possibly can, we need to make sure that the private sector, with investment and jobs and technology and freedoms, can advance infrastructure rather than just throwing government money at it, because we've had this shovel-ready instances before, and there are ways to free things up. Even Trump himself, in his first year, you might recall when he did the one-in, two-out regulatory order. Well, he also did a whole lot of work in term by executive order on streamlining permitting and building for bridges, environmental projects, roads, and things like that. That's what has to continue, and removing regulations that stand in the way of those things. I think a lot more investment money is just going to go to the wrong kinds of things, like public transit and so forth.
Yeah,
that people don't want.
It just boggles my mind. I don't know. I guess, first of all, just to back up on the whole thing, like you said, you need the private sector so much more involved than I think they allow it to be. But you've got now Donald Trump and the Republicans, even McConnell, I think, to some extent. And then you got Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats. Everybody's on board for spending god-awful trillions of dollars on infrastructure. And I'm thinking, boy, oh, boy, the waste and everything else. And
absolutely.
And go ahead. Go ahead on that.
Well, they can go, they can even go sector by sector and look at the ways that the big industries are regulated now that they would like to expand by growing infrastructure. A lot of times I'll say, the basis of, the basis of wealth creation is property rights, the ability to cut deals, and the ability to grow businesses. And we're pretty good in the free market capitalist movement when we talk about property rights with respect to the coffee cup that's probably sitting in front of you or your car or something like that. But anytime we get into complex areas like the spectrum or water infrastructure or electrical infrastructure or telecommunications infrastructure, a lot of those big industries are still regulated like public utilities. And our founder, Fred Smith, would often comment. He said, anything that was in government's hands, any resource that was in government's hands, from spectrum, water, and so forth, remains in government's hands once the progressive era began. Kind of that escalation to wealth creation and private property and the wealth creation that involves got arrested at the early on in the progressive era. So now we have these industries that are regulated as public utilities. Even calls for the internet to be regulated as a public utility.
Yeah, God forbid.
So when you talk about government investment, when you kind of have the wrong philosophy at the base, you have an anti-property rights government regulatory structure at the base, the infrastructure investment will end up going the wrong way.
Yeah.
And so when I was talking to some officials about this, I said, why not look at ways you can look at the way the federal government regulates water, electricity, telecommunications, cable, and why not break down the barriers between those so that those industries can work together to build new infrastructure and take capitalism even up to greater levels than we have now? Instead, a lot of times what you see is kind of the tension between what the administration is trying to do here with growing infrastructure, but at the same time, they want to crack down with antitrust law to stop the very companies who are capable of growing this stuff.
Yeah.
So, so we have this real disconnect in thinking about what's the source of wealth creation when it comes to large-scale property rights and large-scale capitalism.
Exactly. We're talking with Wayne Cruz. He is the policy director at the Competitive Enterprise Institute. And he has penned a piece called Phase 4 Coronavirus Infrastructure Spending to Start at $2 trillion. And here we are, Wayne, talking about, we're in the midst of this virus. I guess infrastructure should be brought up, but it seems to me it's not a very timely issue right now. I mean, we're all worried about actually, going out the door, coming back without getting the virus.
Yes.
I mean, we are down to the basic levels of survival, and yet they're talking about in some phase 4 they're going to spend $2 trillion in infrastructure.
Well, speaking of tensions, like I was saying between antitrust and growing infrastructure, you've got that tension. A lot of people pointed out early on, well, you know, we're having this, they're not calling it stimulus, they want to call it rescue, because it was the government itself that has clamped down on production rather than there's some outside shock. So government responded in response to the coronavirus and did the shutdown itself. Now they want people to stay in. So they're going to send you your check for staying in, but in order to build infrastructure, you make a good point. You got to go outside.
No.
But I think what's really driving a lot of that is, and you know, this is one of the problems with political exploitation of crises. People are scared to death for their jobs. I mean, you've seen the same numbers that say unemployment could get up into the 30% range potentially. And it's so people are terrified, and infrastructure is always about taking money back home to your local districts. And so it will be music to people's ears to see that not only are the initial checks coming and probably second and third phases of that, but also they're going to talk about, well, if the jobs we have been stamped out, here come all of these new government jobs. And it's really a shame when those kinds of things are trotted out and things get taken advantage of. I wish that weren't the case. And so we'll be able to see if there's honesty in it when, you know, a lot of Republicans, they know the source of wealth creation. They know that the private sector needs to lead the charge. And if they put in place a lot of new spending, remember, big spending is going to come with big golden chains, too. So whoever gets this money is going to have restrictions put on it. And you'll kind of be able to tell whether we're moving in a free market, free enterprise-oriented direction, or yet more government control that's going to lead to even more regulation and more difficulty in creating the infrastructure of the future.
Yeah.
I think they need to stick to the path of opening up permitting as soon as, in health terms, getting people to be able to go back to work and growing things that way, and being very, very careful about doing something like this in a crisis. President Trump and Nancy Pelosi have been talking about these infrastructure packages ever since he got in office. It was the one thing that they both would say they might come to some agreements on. And in a crisis, that's the time you're going to make the worst decisions.
Exactly.
With respect to what the targets are.
I think that's exactly right. We're talking with Wayne Cruz, Policy Director at the Competitive Enterprise Institute. Wayne, it's a totally new world. I mean, nobody would have thought a couple of months ago that we would be, you know, hunkered down, bunkered down, whatever it is, in our homes, almost afraid to go out because we don't want to catch anything. It's, you know, we had 700,000 jobs lost last month because of this virus. We're going to have, I don't know how many millions of people not working, not working. It's a brave new world. But so with all of that going on, there is this philosophical thing about how much should the federal government do, you know, when it comes to business and regulation of business and sending money to business or not, whatever,
right,
and how much they should not do. So let me just get a philosophical thing from you on this. Is Trump and the Trump administration, do you think, handling the way things are going as far as business is concerned with, you know, some of the legislation that they're doing, et cetera? Do you think they're going about it the right way?
Well, I'm worried about a lot of it because, remember, Trump came in as the deregulatory president, and you and I have been on the show talking about the great things he's done in that respect. And I also caveats in there. I said, you know, there are a lot of swamp things amid what Trump is doing too. And I talked about his actions on antitrust and other areas, and his advisors, his daughter and son-in-law, and their proposals for family leave that Ivanka Trump talked about at venues like Consumer Electronics Association. So Trump is no libertarian, if you use that word. He does have his own big government and regulatory impulses. And we've known that a lot. We've known about his inclinations toward intervention in trade and the notion that you can have big projects and government do big things. He was always open about infrastructure. Remember, even during the campaign, he would talk about eminent domain and how that was necessary. And, you know, there, not to get in that discussion, but, you know, there are cases where that can be true. But to just say that so emphatically and avoid the kinds of conversation I was talking to you about earlier about what do we do to expand large-scale private property rights and private networks instead of governmental ones and things like that. The parts of the packages now, and you can look at the, you know, the checks to workers, the things that you have to do to help people. And remember, corporations are legal fictions in their own way. So the best you can do at helping people individually as opposed to corporations is the best. We have always opposed corporate bailouts, and that goes for back during the 9/11 era. It in some ways made problems worse because
right.
if government is seen as the lender or the bailout of last resort, then wow, the airlines think, well, hell, I don't have to have a one-year reserve in case a virus happens or in case another terrorist attack happens. I know that if something goes wrong, I'm going to get an instant bailout. And that is exactly what occurred. What should have occurred is large-scale cross-industry insurance programs that were done in the private sector and companies having reserves to weather these storms. I mean, things weren't shut down for 4 days and they were already out asking for bailout.
Yeah, right.
And you can go and look online. You can find letters from, and, you know, they have the good position to lobby and get this support. But a lot of us think more about, well, gosh, what about the people who are running these tiny restaurants and small businesses and cleaning services and things like that? They're the ones who are really hurting, but they don't have the kind of clout to get this bailout.
Exactly.
And then
right.
on top of all of that, Mnuchin has just gotten, and he negotiated with
the Treasury Secretary
power for himself. He went to Nancy Pelosi and he went to Mitch McConnell, negotiated this package, and now Treasury under him, working with the Fed, has now got tremendous power in allocating and picking which businesses survive and which ones don't get any help. And you're going to see this again when the report, you know, you and I were talking about infrastructure today, and Trump came out with his tweet on Friday. No, it was Friday. It's about 3 days ago. Talking about the big and bold infrastructure package. Well, the same day there were articles about Nancy Pelosi giving a talk and calling for infrastructure, and she's talking about negotiating with Mnuchin. And he is, not only has he got a great deal of control, and you can go back and look at the press briefing yesterday on coronavirus. He was out there first, and then Jared Kushner came after. And he's got tremendous power in allocating these funds, and you can guarantee to yourself that he's going to play a significant role in the infrastructure package in phase four, if that's what we get. I highly doubt it's going to be market oriented in the way you and I were just discussing.
I don't think so either. The nanny state rises even to greater heights in things like this. I want to thank you so much.
Thank
for being
you.
With us, Wayne. It's always a pleasure to talk with you. You got so much to share. You stay safe, and I know we'll be talking again soon.
Well, the pleasure is mine. Great talking to you. You guys stay safe. Stay safe with your families, and have a great, great weekend.
Thank you, Wayne. Yes, sir.
Bye-bye.
Wayne Cruz. All right, we're going to take our break. When we come back, President Trump going after Pelosi. Schumer continues to hold briefings. We're going to talk with the proprietor of the barber pole, Andrew Ceraci, to see if the Donald is still commanding the respect that he deserves.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
The best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They've got a beautiful new facility, but you'll still get the very best haircut from the very best hair cutters, and for a great price, too. Andrew's Master Barbershop is open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza, State Road 580 and Overcash Drive in Dunedin.
Don't miss the Craft Beer Hour every Wednesday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. We'll bring you up to speed on craft beer events and festivals, local breweries, and interview the brains behind the brews. So grab a pint and listen to the Craft Beer Hour every Wednesday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m. right here on the Tantalk Radio Network, and visit the website, thecraftbeerhour.com.
Let's go bowling! Let's Go Bowling, heard on the Tantalk Radio Network every Wednesday, 11 a.m. to 12 Eastern Time. Sponsored by 12 Strike and Innovative Ball Spinner. If you bowl, if you haven't bowled in a while, or if you never bowled, why don't you be one of 65 million people who have bowled last year? Listen to the Tip of the Week, Bowling Stars, Old and New, Let's Go Bowling Show, GoBowlingShow.com.
Go yard is a metaphor used in baseball, meaning to hit a home run. Life struggles can make you feel like you just struck out. It's times like these that we need a little batting practice to pick ourselves back up and get back in the game. Whether you are dealing with marital issues, drug addiction, rebellious teens, anxiety, depression, or just generally having a bad day, call Mama Mac. If life has you down 0-2, before you strike out, learn to go yard. Go yard with Mama Mac on this radio station, Thursdays, 6 o'clock.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We are back on a Friday, and thank you so very, very much for joining us. We're here every Monday, Tuesday, and Friday on the Great Tantalk Radio Network from 10 to 11 a.m. By the way, you can listen to us anytime your little heart desires if you go to our website, OurFreedomWorks.com, OUR, freedomworks.com. Big Ed, good enough to set up all of our shows on podcasts. So go over there and, you know, listen at your leisure. All right. Now, Donald Trump, with all of this going on, still finds a way to get into a squabble with the big two on the Democratic side. I'm referring to Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer. Trump, speaking on the briefing yesterday afternoon, unloaded on Democrats who have created this new House committee, by the way, Pelosi kind of at the head with the address on it, this House committee with subpoena authority to investigate the feds and their response to the pandemic. Ah, boy, that's just what we need. Right in the midst of all of this, we need Nancy Pelosi to create a new committee. At the same time, Chuck Schumer has been going after the Donald, and you know how he is. Trump always responds. Trump sent a vicious letter to Schumer yesterday, calling him missing in action in the fight against the virus. It came in response to Schumer's own claim that Trump has mishandled the pandemic, and away we go. And so, without further ado, here's Andrew listening to me talk, the proprietor of the Barber Poll. Andrew, Donald Trump is going to be Donald Trump, and he gets out in front, and he is a pep talk guy when we maybe most need somebody like that. Then he allows those doctors to come on and talk the specifics. Is he still doing a good job, in your opinion?
I think he's doing a fantastic job, Paul. No question about it.
Good.
And he's doing such a good job. Excuse me.
That's all right.
That Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer are getting their panties in a knot again.
They certainly
are. Starting another committee. You know, you think she would learn from her impeachment baloney. Let me tell you something. She was next to somebody the other day, supposedly, that has the coronavirus. She's 80 years old. With a little luck, maybe the coronavirus will do something good. But anyway.
I just knew you'd say something like that. Go ahead.
Yeah, I mean, this is ridiculous. You know, the Democrats have dug such a grave, they want to go even deeper, believe me. You know, come the election time, the people are seeing what's going on here. People now, are struggling with bills and this and that. What are they worried about? Getting rid of Trump.
I know. Isn't that amazing that politics...
They're sick, they're vile, and they are disgusting. And anybody that would vote for these people needs their head examined on the Dr. Phil show, believe me.
Now, there is a question that they might even push back... Of all things, the election itself. Now, who knows, of course. November is light years away at this point. We're worried about the here and now. But if they were to, as an example, not hold the election on the first Tuesday in November, whenever it is, you know, the Congress has the authority to decide when it will be held. And if Congress, meaning the House, has the authority, guess who's still running things at this point? It's Nancy.
It's if the coronavirus don't get her first.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm betting the odds if the coronavirus gets her. Believe me, I got the Undertaker in line to call everything.
Oh, my
goodness.
You got
no idea.
Oh, my goodness, my goodness. Shall we send a carrier over to sneak up on her and cough on her head or something?
I wish I had a carrier pigeon. You know, they used to use pigeons in the old days. I wish I had one of these trained pigeons. Oh, you got no idea.
A coronavirus carrier pigeon. I like it.
There you go, man.
I like it.
but they're playing games, Paul. You know, let me tell you something. This goes on for a couple weeks. People are hurting, man.
They are.
People are hurting. And, you know, what really pisses me off is the governor puts a hold on everything. Barber shops are supposed to be closed. Do you know that I drove by one of my competitors on the way to Home Depot, and that sucker is still open?
Yeah, you mentioned that guy. He's on US 19 or something.
Yeah, the no-waiting barbershop on U.S. 19. They got orders from the governor to close.
Well, he's also a no-listening barbershop. No waiting, no listening.
You know, what is wrong with these people?
I know.
They're what's causing all this lockdown and
everything.
It's crazy.
So you are in agreement with Ron DeSantis. Now, Ron DeSantis, for those of you that don't know, Andrew... is directly connected with Ron. In fact, Ron DeSantis' father is a good friend of Andrew, and I've had the pleasure of meeting Mr. DeSantis, the father. He's a wonderful man. Hey, by the way, he looks a lot like Ron, in my opinion, or the other way around. He's a wonderful man. Is Ron DeSantis, with his clampdown, the way he announced yesterday now, that we all have to basically stay home, and the only reason we can, you know, get in our car and go anywhere is to get, you know, vital goods, right?
That's it. But, you know, I was just out. I had to go to Home Depot. I needed some vital goods to finish my pool over here.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, you would never notice anything going on. Traffic all over the place, people still running around, and the barber shop is open. You can get a haircut today. I don't know how many germs you're going to get, but you can get a haircut.
Seriously, are you open? Because I'm coming over. I need one.
No, Paul, I'm not open.
Well, doggone.
I'm following the law. It's a second-degree misdemeanor.
Well, Don, listen, between you and me, open the doggone place and just give me a haircut. I don't have the virus. Then you can close it again.
This is unbelievable.
I know, it's terrible. Hey, by the way, at Home Depot, got to ask you, because I have a friend that said they actually are making you wait outside until someone comes out or something, and then you can go in.
Yeah, they only want so many people in the store.
That's probably a good idea.
The virus doesn't travel. People do. And the people that are carrying the virus that are traveling are what's making it spread.
Yeah.
The virus don't have little legs.
No, it doesn't. It hangs out there in the air, though. You know, we're supposedly learning more and more, but I'm still not sure about, let's say somebody breathes that's a carrier, and you just happen to be in the way of the breath. Are you going to get it? Not about the coughing. We know that's bad. But, I mean, you almost get paranoid, don't you, worrying about walking by anybody?
Well, you know, Paul, they've created such a scare that it's unbelievable. Mm-hmm. I myself, honestly, am not afraid.
No.
You know, I'm going about my everyday life. The only difference is I'm not working. And I'm so used to working that yesterday I got dressed up and went and sat in my barber shop just for an hour
because
I thought my routine was broken up.
Well, you know what? That's actually a good idea. Did you know that psychologists say do your routine as much as possible? And by going to your barber shop and sitting there, actually it's more healthy than, you know, kind of sitting at home and wondering what's going on.
That's it. I mean, it's just such a routine, and I've been... You know, I dress up every day to go to work, and I've been working around here like a slouch and looking like a bum. I had to change it. I had to get into my routine.
Yeah.
So I'm going there for just an hour, look out the window, whatever, and check out the place. And, you know, it made me feel good.
That is so wonderful. Andrew, you've always been a great patron of businesses in the Tampa Bay area, a great Trump supporter as well. And I think and feel for people like you that, you know, because you think about it, no business, and you've got one or two employees that are there, you know, that you got to worry about too, family employees, but still. And all of these things, and everybody is sitting at home, and I guess we just have to remain positive, and Donald Trump is trying to do that. And we'll get over this, and we'll come back, and like he says, hopefully, we will come back better than ever.
Well, Paul, you know, the country's in good hands. I really believe that. You know, some people are thinking, oh, Trump is caving. You know, you can see the difference in his. Look at the guy's got a crisis going on. He's getting hammered from everybody, and the Democrats still trying to knock him down, and the guy's doing a great job. I mean, what is wrong with these people? I think you're definitely going to see a red landslide, Paul. I think California's even going to go red.
I was just wondering about that. With Nancy Pelosi pulling the little stunt that she's done with this new investigative committee, don't you think that people in California feel the trouble with this virus at least as much as...
Look, even the governor of California's even giving Trump credit, saying, listen, he hasn't held back on anything over here.
Yeah.
You know, as much as these people put him down, talk their bull crap and everything else, the guy is still backing up his country.
Yeah.
These people ought to take a lesson from it and see what kind of a job this man is doing rather than putting him down. Because if every one of these moron politicians were like Donald Trump, this country wouldn't be in the position it's in, believe me.
Yeah. Well, you know, his approval ratings are going up, and particularly the way he's been handling the crisis despite the negative press and the negative Democrats. Andrew, it is always, always a pleasure. You stay safe, my friend. And next week, when we talk, let's hope that we have maybe a little bit more optimism and maybe we can see the light at the end of the tunnel.
You got it, buddy. You have a good weekend.
Thank you, my friend.
Talk to you later.
All right. There he is, Andrew, the master barber, and a good guy. And a big, big time Trump supporter. All right. Going to take our final break, and when we come back, a Texas city is now requiring residents to wear these masks when out in public. Going to tell you which city and whether or not it is working. She crawled in and took control. She was tired, so my mind was dragging. I said, get some sleep and dream of rock and roll. 'Cause like a picture she was laying there, moonlight dancing off her hair. She woke up and took me by the hand. She's gonna love me in my Chevy van, and that's all right with me.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
The best barbershop in Tampa Bay, Andrew's Master Barbershop, located in the Overcash Plaza in Dunedin. They've got a beautiful new facility, but you'll still get the very best haircut from the very best hair cutters, and for a great price, too. Andrew's Master Barbershop is open Tuesday through Friday, 8:30 to 5, and Saturday, 8:30 to 2 p.m. Andrew's Master Barbershop in the Overcash Plaza, State Road 580 and Overcash Drive in Dunedin.
During these trying times, our troops need our help more than ever. Right now, blood supplies are at an all-time low. Just one pint of blood can help save the lives of our servicemen and women. So give the gift of life. Give blood. It's safe, simple, and saves lives. That's courtesy of RNC Auto and Truck Repair, your complete auto shop with quality work at prices you can afford. For a free estimate, call 727-447-3343. That's 727-447-3343 for RNC Auto and Truck Repair in Clearwater.
Hey everybody, this is Pastor Marcia McAllister from Beacon of Hope Ministries. We want you to join us on Sunday afternoons at 3 o'clock on this radio station for our two-hour show, talking to you about the Word of God, giving you great contemporary music, some lively chat, and just some food for thought. You'll be encouraged to know how very much God loves you and how He has a plan for your life. Join us this coming Sunday at 3 o'clock on Living the Good Life.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
We are back for the final phase of Freedom Works here on a Friday, April the 3rd, and we thank you very much for being with us. Ed, I just saw now here in Florida, 144 people apparently dead from the coronavirus, so the numbers continue to go up. I was thinking about those two cruise ships that finally came in to port near in Port Everglades down near in Fort Lauderdale. Can you imagine? There was an interesting story in the Tampa Bay Times about this couple that decided they were going to take a cruise. They went down to Argentina, and the ship was going to come back up. It turns out it's one of these two ships. And you had these poor people sitting inside their little cabin.
Yeah.
Talk about cabin fever. They technically had it for weeks. Weeks. They couldn't go out of the cabin.
Right.
They could not. The food was actually delivered to their door. They couldn't go out.
Well, we talked about that weeks ago when Canadian News, where a couple had planned for a European or a Middle East, or not Middle East, but Eastern, vacation Far East, and they actually got on the ship and they were quarantined for 2 weeks in their cabin. And we say, just imagine if you had the inside cabin where there is no porthole.
There's no window to watch it.
Exactly. Yeah. And you're in there forever.
That would be so psychologically.
You know, I mean, you've got a shower and that's it. You know, and
it's like being in jail.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It is. Yeah. And in fact, it's worse than being in jail.
Yeah, because at least you can look outside.
You can look out
at the bars.
You can look through the bars. Yeah. But you're in this little hunkered down, it's like a bunker.
Yeah, it's going to drive you crazy for 2 weeks.
Terrible. Now, guess what city in Texas now requires all residents to wear a mask anytime they go into a building that is not their home? You know what happens if they don't? $1,000 fine. And the city is Laredo.
Mm.
Laredo, Texas. Beginning today, the ordinance approved by the city council mandates anybody entering a building without wearing a mask are subject to the fine. You can't go and use public transit, can't pump your gas. You got to have a mask, a bandana, a scarf, or some sort of a cloth covering your face, or you can be fined.
Cut a bra in half.
I don't know.
She'd have to be a pretty big. She'd have to be a pretty big girl, but you know that would work. That would cover most of your face.
All right, yes, sir.
Well, I'm serious.
No, actually, that's not a bad idea. Now that I think about
it. Yeah, they got the straps on them. You can just hook them behind your ears.
Why don't you put one on and let's see what it looks like? Can you find a bra somewhere that we can use?
Well, if you get one bra, you got two masks.
Yeah, you're right. Women,
and you could wash it and reuse it.
Women, loosen up. Yeah. And help your country. That's what we'll say.
Drop the bra for your country.
Yeah. Go loose.
Yeah.
For your country.
For your country, all drop right. The bra.
Okay. Now you got me completely off.
Are they giving out free masks?
Well, let's see here. It says here, the council voted to extend a curfew to pertain to all citizens, requiring them, this is in Laredo. You also have to stay in your home between 10 p.m. and 5 a.m. They're really clamping down there. Where do they get the masks? That is a good question. You would think that maybe, you know, that's what people would say. Hey, you told me to wear a mask. I can't get a mask. And I got to go out to get it. And if you catch me.
What if you can't find one? What if you can't afford one? And you need to get food and stuff like that.
And can you imagine the police chasing some poor yokel down the street because he didn't have a mask? That's not going to...
No.
That ain't going to work.
No.
That ain't going to work. And you know the thing about masks, interestingly enough? They protect other people, not yourself.
Right. Right.
If I'm wearing a mask and you're not, I'm protecting you. But I could still get it from... you if you had it. So you know what I mean. It's the mask is only protecting the person that doesn't have the mask, if you know what I'm saying. The mask people, I mean, if everybody's wearing masks,
it keeps
your keeps you from breathing
infecting somebody else.
In the meantime, if you accidentally, you know, that even if you touch your eyes with your hands, you got to be careful about that. We talked about don't wash your hands every time you go anywhere and come back. Wash your hands thoroughly. And don't touch your face because your fingers do the walking.
And don't touch someone else for any reason.
Don't touch anybody else.
Unless it's somebody that you're in-house with.
Yeah, then touch them.
You know, you see a friend, don't go up, give her a hug or, you know.
You can't do it.
Don't do it, no.
You can't. Don't shake hands. Don't do nothing. It's very sad, but it's very true.
I mean, even if somebody came, you know, years past in regular flu conditions. And we've had somebody like walk in here, and I'm like, hey, just keep your distance,
Because
you
got to
do the same thing, yeah.
You don't know where they've been, and you don't know if you're a carrier. You can go for a while, without showing any symptoms, and in the meantime, you can be infecting all these people.
Right.
So, all right, we're going to get away from the virus now. We've been talking about it all show. We're going to give you the top 10 newest countries in the world. Yes. We actually know what the newest countries are. And back on our last show, we talked about the oldest countries. And Ed, you don't remember, and I wouldn't have either, but the oldest country that we currently have in the world is Iran.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Remember? Yeah. It was formed in 3200 BC. There you go. That's old. Okay. So these are the top. This is from thoughtco.com. The top 10 newest countries. Number 10. And it actually, these are a couple of Pacific islands that were made countries at the same time. They had been managed by the United States. Then they were released from there. They are the Marshall Islands and Micronesia. Have you heard about them? They're in the Pacific. Mm-hmm. And they became countries in 1991. Mm. Okay, so that was, what, 29 years ago. Number nine. It's kind of a tie for the next three, but we'll do it this way anyway. Number nine is the Czech Republic. Mm-hmm. Used to be a part of Czechoslovakia. It's separate now. Okay. All right. Number eight.
I know there's going to be quite a few in there with something Stan on the end of it.
Interesting that you say that. Number eight is Slovakia. That was the other part of Czech. Okay. There's Czech and Slovakia, right? And that was also in 1993. All right. Number seven. I hope I pronounced this one right. Eritrea. Have you ever heard of it? Eritrea?
Nope.
E-R-I. Nope. You know where it is? It's in Africa. Mm. It's in Africa, and it became a country in 1993. Number six, Palau, P-A-L-A-U. That is between the Philippines and New Guinea in the Pacific Ocean. And Palau is now a country as of 1994. Number five, Timor, T-I-M-O-R. It is just north of Australia. So that would be close to the Indian Ocean, but it's it was formed in 2002. It's even after 9/11. Mm. It wasn't a country before then. Number four, Montenegro. You've heard of that, right?
No.
Okay, well, Montenegro is in the Balkans,
okay,
in the Balkan area of Europe, and that's Eastern Europe, and it was formed in 2006. Number three, this one I couldn't believe, but it had been a country at one time, and then it became a part of another country, and now, anyway, it's Serbia. Serbia, formed in 2006. Number two, Kosovo. These are all in the Balkan areas.
Yep.
They all kind of came along one after the other, but Kosovo became a country in 2008. All right, Ed, I know you have no idea. So let's just say, here comes number one.
You know, the globe I learned off of in high school looks nothing like the globe today.
And mine, you should see mine. You should see mine. It's completely
USSR
different.
Was just one big piece of land.
It was. And remember all of those Iron Curtain countries?
Yeah.
I mean, it was like it was one landlocked group of countries under the domain of the Tsar and... In Russia. Okay. The number one newest country in the world, by the way, became a country in 2011, South Sudan. Now, that is in Africa. And it's the top country. It's called the Republic of South Sudan. But that was only 9 years ago that it became a country. So that is the newest country. The oldest country is Iran. And the newest country is South Sudan. All right, my friends. Been a pleasure. I want you to stay safe this weekend. Love your family. Remember that we're all in this fight together. We're going to come out of it. Things will be hopefully even better than before. And also remember that freedom works.
And so mine was a dragon. I said, get some sleep and dream of rock and roll.